Welcome to the Fasting Well podcast. This is episode 21, and today I'll be talking about calories. Should you count them? Spoiler alert, the answer is no. At least in my opinion, it's a bad idea to count calories. So if you've ever tried to lose weight, if you've ever gone on a diet to try to lose weight, you've certainly heard that you should reduce your calories. That's what we've all been told for many years. And still to this day, some people are still saying that that's what you should do. But for most people, I think that's a bad idea and it's counterproductive. So in this episode, I'm going to explain why I think it's a bad idea and what you should do instead of counting calories. So several years ago, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, I read an article about this guy who did the Twinkie diet. So he ate nothing but Twinkies and other snack cakes for a while, maybe a couple months, and he was very overweight when he started. And he lost a bunch of weight. And so I read this article and he kind of explained it and he limited his calories to maybe like 1,500 a day or 2,000 a day. So the point was he was eating junk food, but he was cutting calories and that's how he lost weight. And I thought that was interesting. It influenced my perspective for a while because I was like, oh, look at that. He clearly demonstrated that if you just cut your calories, you'll, you know, burn body fat and lose weight. A few years later, I found out that that guy was funded by Coke, by Coca-Cola. So some information came out, maybe because of the Freedom of Information Act or something like that. And it was discovered that Coke was paying him, and that's why he did this experiment and kind of publicized this information. So stop and think about that for a second. If food companies, apparently food companies want you to think, junk food companies want you to think that cutting calories is the key to losing weight, which also means they want you to think that all calories are the same. So in other words, they want you to think that it doesn't matter what type of food you eat, it just matters how many calories you eat. So if that's what the junk food companies want you to think, that should probably raise a couple red flags. So are all calories the same? Well, there's a book called Good Calories, Bad Calories, which, full disclosure, I have not read this book. But the author, Gary Tobbs, he's an investigative journalist who's been researching nutrition for many years, and he wrote this book, and I have heard him talk on countless podcast episodes and in some conferences, and I've read a few of his other books, so I'm pretty familiar with what this book is all about. And there's a point that Gary often makes, which is that if you take 100 calories of, say, broccoli, and you eat that, or you take 100 calories of brownies and you eat that, it's intuitively obvious. We all know, we pretty much everyone would agree, that they don't do the same thing in your body and that one of them is more fattening than the other one. And so we all kind of know this, but then we all kind of forget this. It slips our mind as soon as we're like, oh, I need to go on a diet and lose weight. Then we're like, we kind of forget how. Well, obviously different types of food are different, but we think that we just need to focus on the calories. And so a couple kind of key reasons why some calories are different from others and have different effects on fat and weight gain and things like that are the following. So one reason is because different foods have different impacts on our hormones. So some types of food raise our insulin levels and our stress hormone levels, and other foods don't. So for example, if you eat a lot of carbs, especially processed starchy stuff like pasta, bread, etc., it's going to raise your insulin level, which causes more fat storage because that's one of the things that insulin does, and it kind of traps your fat inside your fat cells. Also, eating that food, and especially if you eat a lot of sugar, it raises your stress hormones like cortisol. And cortisol, one of the things it does is it causes you to kind of have more fat storage around your belly. So as you can imagine, if you're eating the foods that do those things, that cause those hormones to go up, but you're trying to get slim, you're trying to have washboard abs and all this stuff, it's going to be counterproductive. So if you're just focused on calories, but you're ignoring the hormones, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Quick aside, I saw this study recently, saw this graph presented in a lecture that they did this experiment with, I think it was 10-year-old boys. It was young boys. I don't remember the exact age. But they gave half of them soda to drink and half of them some other drink that didn't have sugar. And they kind of graphed some different things. They tracked their blood sugar, but they also tracked their stress hormones. And their stress hormones were significantly higher in the ones who drank the soda. About 3 to 5 hours later, they had these really high stress hormone levels. And so it kind of demonstrated that when you drink sugar, it makes you more stressed. Or in other words, it raises your stress hormones, which is a bad thing if you're trying to, well, relax and not be anxious. But it's also a bad thing if you're trying to reduce body fat. So insulin and stress hormones are affected very differently by different foods. And if you want to learn more about insulin, go back to episode 18, where Dr. Ben Bickman and I talked ad nauseum about insulin. Just kidding. But we talked a lot about insulin, and so you can learn a lot about that if you want to in that interview. Another thing that's very different depending on the type of food you eat is satiety. So satiety just means if you're full, if you don't feel hungry anymore, then that's satiety. So I recently wrote a blog post about this. It was a guest post for another blog, so you may not have seen it unless you're on my email list. But basically what I learned when I was doing the research for that is that there are some pretty distinct differences in how protein, fat, and carbs affect satiety. And here's the bottom line. Protein, foods that are high in protein, will keep you full the longest, or in other words, make it so you don't get hungry for a longer amount of time. There's a couple of specific reasons for that. Like protein will keep the hunger hormone called ghrelin lower for longer, for several hours, versus carbs, which only keep it down for maybe an hour. And protein will also keep this satiety hormone called peptide YY higher for longer, for several hours, versus about 1 hour for carbs. Fat falls somewhere in between in terms of satiety, but it's a little closer to protein. And in nature, protein and fat usually come together. So the natural thing to eat is often protein and fat together. But of course, we have this fat phobia that we've kind of been trained to fear fat and to be worried about fat. So a lot of people are scared to eat these foods like meat, fish, poultry, nuts, seeds that have a lot of protein and fat together. But in reality, that's the type of food that'll keep you full the longest, make it so you don't feel like you have to eat again really soon or to eat a lot of snacks and stuff like that. I've certainly noticed that when I eat foods that have a lot of protein and fat together, that I often don't get hungry again for many hours afterwards, like 6 or 8 hours. Like if I eat a decent amount of eggs or meat or nuts, for example. And it's so different compared to when I used to eat cereal for breakfast on a regular basis. I would usually get hungry like an hour later. So that was the question of, are all calories the same? And clearly the answer is no. Different types of food have very different impacts in our body, like the broccoli and the brownies that I gave the example of. Another big question is, what happens if you do cut calories? What if you're eating 3,000 calories a day and then you cut it down to 2,000 or to 1,500 or whatever? And if your goal is to lose weight and all that, so you go on this diet, like if you were doing Weight Watchers or something, where you're basically just trying to reduce the amount of food, the amount of calories that you're eating. Well, if you do that consistently on a daily basis, there are a few bad things that happen. And so the biggest one, the most obvious one, if you start to think about it, is it'll slow down your metabolism. So this would also be intuitively obvious if you stopped to think about it. And so think about how your body works. So if you're eating 3,000 calories a day, and then you cut that down to 1,500 calories a day, at first, everything's hunky-dory, you're losing weight, you're like, oh yeah, I'm making progress. But after a while, if you're doing that every day, obviously your body has to make an adjustment. Because if it didn't, then you would starve to death. Because if it was still burning 3,000 calories every day, and you were only eating 1,500 calories every day, your body would, you know, you would starve to death because you would have a 1,500 calorie deficit every day. So your body has to make this adjustment. It has to slow down your metabolism. And so generally speaking, if you go on a calorie restriction diet, you'll have a slower metabolism. Another thing that happens that's not great is that when you do a calorie restriction diet, you don't just lose body fat. You lose some body fat, but you also lose lean body mass, like muscle and bone. So your bones may not be as dense. You'll lose some of your muscle. And you're just weighing yourself on the scale and you're like, oh, I went down 2 pounds and then another 2 pounds. And so you're maybe not aware that you're also losing lean body mass when you do this calorie restriction diet on a consistent basis. By the way, I linked to a specific research study that looked at the loss of lean body mass with a calorie restriction diet in one of my blog posts about weight loss on my blog. So maybe I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So what else happens when you cut calories? Well, when your metabolism slows down after a while, after you do it for several days or beyond, then you're going to feel more fatigued because metabolism slowing down is kind of synonymous with not having as much energy in your body. And you're going to feel hungry and fatigued, and so you're going to be kind of miserable. And you're probably going to quit because you feel like crap. And so that's the typical end of a calorie restriction diet. And guess what? Now you have a slower metabolism and you just quit your diet. So what's going to happen now? You're going to regain the weight as soon as you start eating, quote unquote, normally again, or whatever you were eating previously. And so that's how you get on a yo-yo diet. And that's also how you become a professional dieter. So you go on this diet, you lose some weight, it's miserable, and so you quit after a while, then you regain the weight, and then eventually you get fed up with yourself and you feel shameful or whatever, and so you do it again, and you try to lose this weight. And so it becomes this vicious cycle, basically. And so that is the typical calorie restriction diet. There's a lot of research showing that most diets don't work in the long run, and this is basically why. Okay, so that's why you should not count calories. Because if you're counting calories, you're kind of assuming that all calories are the same, which they're not. And you're also going to have all these other harmful effects of cutting your calories, like the slower metabolism and feeling fatigued, losing lean body mass, and getting on a yo-yo diet. So what should you do instead? What is a better approach rather than counting calories? How can you lose weight if you don't count calories? So that's what I think that's a question that a lot of people have in their head. Like, well, if I don't reduce the amount of calories I'm eating, how am I going to drop this 100 pounds that I needed to drop, or 20 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever it is? Well, here's what I think you should focus on instead. Instead of looking at calories, ignore the calories and focus on two things: the type of food that you're eating and the timing of food. So number one, the type of food. So this one's big, and for a lot of people, this alone could fix metabolic issues and help with weight loss and so forth. So what type of food should you eat if you're trying to reduce body fat, trying to lose weight, or even just trying to be healthier? Well, I'm going to make 3 points here. Number one is try to eat unprocessed foods, whole foods, things that aren't crushed up in a factory, that don't come in a box or a bag with a barcode, that don't have a bunch of ingredients that you've never heard of. All those processed foods are basically what's the most harmful in our diet. Now, that's easier said than done, because everywhere you go, in your friend's house, at the convenience store, at the grocery store, at the fast food restaurant, at any restaurant, usually you're served processed foods, or at least something with some kind of harmful processed ingredients in it if you're not super careful. But do your best, try to eat things that are relatively unprocessed, because that's going to be really beneficial. In episode 7 of this podcast, I talked a lot about how to do that, how to think about that, and some specific tips and strategies that can help with consuming real food and all the benefits that come along with that. So feel free to go back and listen to episode 7 and learn more about that. Point number 2 is try to eat foods that are high in protein and fat. Protein helps keep you full longer, so you don't get hungry as often. Fat does that as well. Getting enough protein helps maintain your lean body mass, your muscle and your bones and so forth, some of those things that you lose when you're doing the calorie restriction. And consuming dietary fat helps boost your metabolism. It actually speeds it up. So it's the opposite of what happens when you cut calories. Point number 3, the third point when it comes to the type of food that you're eating, is to specifically try to avoid as much as possible processed sugars, refined sugar and refined flour, refined starches, all those processed carbs. So those often come in the form of bread or pasta or tortillas or crackers, cookies, chips, French fries, soda, juice. Those are a bunch of examples. But when you eat those things, a lot of bad things happen. And when you don't eat those things, some better things happen. So basically, you can prevent the high blood sugar and the high insulin. You can help release your body fat stores by keeping your insulin low. You can help keep your stress hormones low. You can help keep your inflammation. The inflammation in your body will be lower if you're not eating that type of food, which is related to a bunch of diseases. You know, high inflammation is often present in basically every chronic illness, you know, be it heart disease or Alzheimer's or cancer. There's usually inflammation kind of at the root of that. So that is a really fundamental thing that can help a lot. On a closely related note, also trying to avoid refined vegetable oils, refined seed oils, is probably very beneficial as well. And so specifically that soybean oil and canola oil and some of those other like safflower and sunflower oil and so forth, that those are usually highly refined. They have a bunch of toxic, oxidized fatty acids and other weird chemicals that they use when they're producing them. So that's your typical store-bought salad dressing that's made with soybean oil or canola oil, and they're present in all sorts of other processed foods. So if you just go back to point number one, which is avoiding the processed foods, then you're going to automatically avoid both the processed sugars and flours, as well as the processed refined vegetable oils, which is going to do amazing things for your health. By the way, in episode 4 of the podcast, when I talked about step 1 of fasting, which is to cut out snacks, I also talked about some really specific food options that kind of make it easier not to eat as often. So if you want some more specific recommendations about that, go ahead and listen to episode 4, which is quite short, by the way. So I think once you get the type of food really dialed in many cases that can take care of lots of different health issues just by itself. Maybe not overnight, but if you stick with it for a while, if you really dial that in and stick with it for months, then a lot of metabolic health issues are going to go away just by doing that. So remember those three key points. Try to eat unprocessed foods, try to get plenty of fat and protein. Really good sources of protein and fat include meat, fish, poultry, eggs. Those are probably the best sources. Nuts and seeds are also pretty good. And try to stay away from refined sugar, starches, and refined vegetable and seed oils like soybean oil or canola oil. So that was all about the type of food, and that's a huge topic. I ran through it kind of quickly, but hopefully that made sense. The second thing to focus on, if you're trying to reduce body fat, trying to be healthier, etc., is the timing of food, when you eat and how often you eat. So of course, that means fasting, because if you go for a while without eating, that's what we call fasting. So what you want to do if you're trying to lose weight, and whenever I say lose weight, I mean lose body fat. Because remember, if you go on a calorie restriction diet, you actually lose lean body mass, muscle and bone, along with some of your fat. So that's not ideal. But if you're trying to lose weight, meaning reduce body fat, then here's what works better. Along with improving the type of food, you want to have cycles of fasting and feasting. Fasting, feasting, fasting, feasting. And when I say feasting, I don't mean binge eating. I don't mean going and out and eating a bunch of junk food, because that's what a lot of people think, or like Thanksgiving, where it's a combination of all different types of food, but lots of desserts and things. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say feasting, I mean eating a substantial amount of delicious, healthy food until you're nice and full, especially including things that are high in good quality protein. So that's what I mean by feasting. So fasting and feasting, fasting and feasting. When you do that, it helps keep your metabolism strong. So if you're trying to lose weight, this is a really important point. So Megan Ramos, who was on episode 14 of the podcast, I've heard her give many anecdotes over the years, talk about many patients that she's had. In particular, women. She's had many women patients who've ended up with a slow metabolism as a result of doing diet after diet after diet after diet, doing that yo-yo diet. And then because they consistently ate fewer calories for long stretches of time, it slowed down their metabolism. And what Megan has found is when she's working with these patients, she's found that for whatever reason, there's probably a combination of different reasons, but when they start to do fasting, feasting, instead of cut calories, their metabolism comes back. She's seen this many times and she's talked about it quite a few different times. So their metabolism gets stronger when they do that. And so, you know, I can't explain all of the reasons, but when you do those sort of fasting, feasting cycles, it helps to strengthen your metabolism and ultimately make it easier to lose weight or to reduce body fat. When you do the fasting and the feasting, another thing that happens is whenever you're not eating, your insulin level is very low, and that kind of releases your fat stores. So it makes it easier to burn fat. And that's why I've often said that fasting is probably the most effective way to burn body fat, to reduce body fat. Another benefit of doing the fasting feasting is that you have these times when you're not eating, when your body's able to do more rest and repair. It's able to repair various things, and that lowers your risk of chronic illnesses. For example, when you fast, your brain kind of gets to rest and do some additional repair that it can't do otherwise. There's all these cellular processes with fancy names like autophagy, but different things that happen when you fast that allow your body to repair, and you'd be at a lower risk of getting Alzheimer's as a result, just as one example, because of the brain kind of working better. So that's a quick rundown of why fasting and feasting is better than just cutting calories on a consistent basis. Now, if you're not sure what type of fasting to do, I went through that step by step in episode 17. I talked about various types of intermittent fasting and which ones would be best for a total beginner and some other types that you could try later on and so forth. So if you want to kind of think about what type of fasting to do, go back and listen to episode 17. So in summary, to kind of tie this all together, it's sort of interesting to know about calories, but keep in mind that your ancestors didn't know about calories, and they usually weren't obese. So you don't need to know about calories. You don't even need to know that calories exist to control your body weight. And for most people, counting calories does more harm than good. It kind of creates an unhealthy relationship with food, and it leads to this false belief that all calories are the same. And it leads people to do these calorie restriction diets, which have a bunch of harmful effects that I listed earlier, such as slowing down your metabolism, leading to loss of muscle and bone, leading to fatigue and hunger, and ultimately quitting and getting on a yo-yo diet because you regain or rebound and regain the weight when you quit that diet. So instead, a better approach to both weight loss and health in general is to focus on the type of food that you're eating and the timing of the food, when you eat and how often you eat. If you do that and you really get both of those dialed in, then everything else tends to fall into place. And of course, as time goes on, you may need to adjust those variables at various times to keep kind of working on the type of food and the timing of food and maybe trying different approaches. But those are the two key variables when it comes to weight loss. Now, there are other things that are important besides food, but when it comes to food, those are the two key variables. Of course, you know, exercise can be beneficial to your health. Controlling your stress is really important. Getting enough sleep is really important. But when it comes to food, focus on the type of food and the timing of food. So there are two things that I want you to do now. One is to take a moment to think about the type of food that you're eating and try to identify one way that you can improve. One type of overly processed food or something that's very unhealthy that you're eating that you could replace with something healthier, something less processed. Or a way to get more protein and more fat into your diet from healthy sources would be another improvement. So try to think of at least one change that you can make in that regard. The second thing is, take a moment to think of who you know that could benefit from hearing this information. Who is one person that you know who would likely benefit from the information in this podcast episode? And take a moment now to text them or email them or even call them and explain what you just learned, but share the podcast episode with them so that they can get the benefit from it as well. You might save them thousands of dollars on diabetes medications, or you might save their life altogether. So it's definitely worth taking a moment and thinking of that one person and reaching out to them. And if you do that and you let me know, I'll give you a virtual high five. Just kidding. But I'll be very grateful if you would do that because I know that this information can help a lot of people if we get the word out. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Fasting Well podcast. The Fasting Well podcast is not medical advice and does not replace the need to consult with your own medical providers.